Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, A Splendid Exchange, How Trade Shaped the World by William Jay. Bernstein is a narrative history of global commerce from prehistoric exchange networks to modern globalization. Bernstein, known for writing on finance and economic history, treats trade not as a narrow economic mechanism, but as a long human process shaped by geography, technology, political ambition, disease, violence, and cultural contact. The book moves chronologically across major episodes, including early Mesopotamian exchange, the Silk Road, Indian Ocean commerce, the European search for spices, colonial sugar production, opium, industrial shipping, and contemporary trade tensions. Its purpose is to show that trade has repeatedly expanded human prosperity and knowledge, while also creating dependency, exploitation, and conflict. Rather than presenting globalization as a recent invention, Bernstein frames it as an ancient force that has continually connected distant societies, altered political power, and made everyday consumption depend on faraway producers and routes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, trade as an ancient human institution rather than a modern invention. A central contribution of A Splendid Exchange is its insistence that trade predates states, modern markets, and formal economic theory. Bernstein begins with early exchange in the ancient Near East and the wider prehistoric world, emphasizing that long-distance movement of valuable materials, such as obsidian, reveals organized exchange well before written commercial records. This approach changes the way globalization is understood. Instead of treating global trade as a late capitalist development, the book presents commerce as a recurring human response to uneven geography and unequal resource distribution. Some regions had metals, spices, timber, grain, silk, or maritime access, while others lacked them. Exchange emerged because no community could easily produce everything it valued. Bernstein also links trade to human specialization. As societies became better at producing particular goods, the incentive to exchange intensified. This makes commerce not merely a matter of profit, but a structural feature of settled life, urban growth, and technological development. The book, therefore, frames trade as one of the durable forces of history, comparable in persistence to war, migration, and religion. Secondly, transportation and technology as the real engines of expanding markets. Bernstein gives sustained attention to the practical mechanisms that made wider trade possible. The book shows that commercial expansion depended less on abstract enthusiasm for exchange than on ships, navigational knowledge, ports, roads, finance, refrigeration, steam power, steel hulls, and later industrial logistics. Each improvement reduced distance in economic terms by lowering cost, risk, or spoilage. Ancient sailing routes connected China, India, the Middle East, and Rome, but these routes were limited by winds, geography, pirates, and political instability. Later, European maritime innovation made direct oceanic trade more feasible, contributing to the Portuguese spice trade and broader European expansion. In the modern period, steamships and refrigeration helped transform food supply chains, making distant agricultural production part of everyday consumption. Bernstein uses these technological shifts to explain why trade networks often change suddenly after long periods of relative continuity. When transport costs fell, previously local goods became global goods, and previously isolated producers became competitors. The result is a history in which markets expand through material capability, not simply through policy choice or ideology. Thirdly, commerce as a source of prosperity, coercion, and imperial violence. A Splendid Exchange avoids presenting trade as an uncomplicated good. Bernstein argues that commerce has often generated prosperity and cultural connection, but he also shows that valuable trade routes and commodities regularly attracted coercion. The search for spices, sugar, silver, tea, and opium did not remain a peaceful process of voluntary exchange. States, chartered companies, and empires used naval power, monopoly rights, plantation labor, and military force to control supply and demand. The Portuguese effort to dominate the spice trade, the British role in Caribbean sugar, and the conflicts surrounding opium illustrate how commerce could become inseparable from violence. The reasoning is straightforward when a commodity produced extraordinary profit or strategic advantage. Political actors had incentives to turn trade into control. Bernstein, therefore, complicates the idea that markets naturally replace conflict. Trade can reduce hostility by creating mutual benefit, but it can also produce new points of friction when access, tariffs, monopoly power, or addiction are at stake. This tension is one reason the book is more than a celebratory history of globalization. Fourthly, trade routes as channels for ideas, crops, disease, and cultural change. Bernstein treats trade as an exchange of far more than goods. Routes that carried silk, spices, metals, grain, and manufactured items also transmitted ideas, religious influences, scientific knowledge, agricultural products, and disease. This broader view is important because it explains why trade reshaped civilizations even when the goods themselves reached only elites. The Silk Road, for example, mattered not only because luxury goods moved between East and West, but because it linked societies that otherwise had limited contact. Maritime trade in the Indian Ocean and later Atlantic commerce also redistributed crops and consumption patterns, altering agriculture and diet across regions. At the same time, connectedness increased vulnerability. Pathogens moved along the same routes as merchants and soldiers, and dependence on distant supply chains exposed societies to disruption. Bernstein presents this double movement as a defining feature of commercial history. Trade expands the stock of human knowledge and material variety, yet it also creates pathways for shocks. The book is strongest when it shows that exchange is ecological, cultural, and political, as well as economic. Lastly, modern globalization has continuity with older trade conflicts. The final force of the book lies in its connection between ancient exchange and contemporary globalization. Bernstein argues that current disputes over imports, labor displacement, national dependence, and trade policy are not entirely new. Earlier societies also debated foreign goods, feared outsiders, protected monopolies, fought over access, and struggled with the social costs of commercial change. What is new is the scale and speed created by industrial transport, containerized logistics, global finance, and modern communications. Bernstein generally concludes that societies engaged in vigorous trade tend to become wealthier and more intellectually dynamic. But he does not ignore the political backlash that follows uneven gains. Trade can lower prices and increase abundance while also disrupting local producers and making national economies dependent on distant systems. This historical framing is useful because it discourages simple positions. The book does not reduce globalization to either exploitation or progress. Instead, it presents modern interdependence as the latest phase of a long pattern in which trade repeatedly enlarges opportunity while forcing societies to manage insecurity, inequality, and strategic rivalry. In conclusion, A Splendid Exchange is best suited for readers interested in economic history, world history, globalization, maritime commerce, and the historical roots of contemporary trade debates. It is especially valuable for readers who want a broad narrative rather than a technical economics text. The practical benefit of the book is not a set of policy prescriptions, but a deeper framework for interpreting modern supply chains, trade wars, protectionism, and global dependence. It shows that debates over foreign goods, strategic resources, and commercial rivalry have long historical precedents. Intellectually, the book helps readers see trade as a system that connects material incentives with technology, empire, culture, and risk. Compared with many books on globalization, it stands out for its chronological sweep and historical texture. Rather than beginning with the Industrial Revolution or late 20th century trade liberalization, Bernstein starts with ancient and prehistoric exchange. Then follows the gradual widening of commercial networks across continents and oceans. This makes the book distinctive within economic history because it joins vivid historical episodes with a consistent argument about human interdependence. Its strength is breadth, synthesis, and balanced trade appears as a source of abundance and knowledge, but also as a cause of coercion, dependency, and conflict. If you would like to support William J. Bernstein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.